The year 2004 was an extremely difficult and challenging period, and that as St. Lucians await to see what would become of the fiscal period 2005-2006, it is clear that the economic and social indicators are pointing in a direction which shows clearly that the St. Lucia economy is not about to improve significantly. Mr. Speaker, I say so because during the period 1980 to the year 1999, agriculture and the banana industry was the backbone of our economy. As a result of continuous neglect and bad policy of this government towards the banana and agricultural industry, unemployment in the sector and unemployment in general fell, Mr. Speaker. It increased, Mr. Speaker, thus creating serious economic hardship for the farmers of this country and the economy in general. Mr. Speaker, if it was a situation where you had another sector catering for the revenue lost in the banana industry and having the same income distribution effect as the banana and agricultural industry, then St. Lucia could have realized some form of economic stability. But this is not the situation, because none of the sectors like the tourism sector and the service industry have not grown significantly enough to replace the revenue lost by the banana industry. Mr. Speaker, we are left with an economy that is increasingly relying on borrowing to try to maintain day-to-day equity in the areas of employment and economic activities. Mr. Speaker, you see, when we talk about the economy being transformed, today, Mr. Speaker, what was supposed to happen, Mr. Speaker? We had an economy where you had a start in the IT sector. You had an economy which was strong in agriculture, Mr. Speaker, but facing some problems from the external forces. You had an economy which started, Mr. Speaker, a strong footing in the area of the tourism industry, and you had an economy, Mr. Speaker, which was doing good in the manufacturing industry. What the present government had to do, Mr. Speaker, they had to build on these sectors. So today, you wouldn't hear them talking about transformation. Mr. Speaker, there is no transformation, Mr. Speaker. There is no transformation in the economy. There is no transformation in the economy, Mr. Speaker. You know, Mr. Speaker, sometimes they say the economy was once in transition. Mr. Speaker, the question is, while there are a number of external factors which have had an effect on our economic performance, I am convinced that if the government had done business differently, Mr. Speaker, especially in the way they went about to privatize the banana industry, things would have been different. Things would have been different, Mr. Speaker. The liberalization of trade, the EU trade war, and the war against terror should have only strengthened the intervention of government and the presence of government in the banana industry. But instead, we saw an industry which was left in the hands of the farmers, Mr. Speaker. And you know what happened subsequently, Mr. Speaker? There was a total decline in the country's economic performance. This year's budget again will be judged by the very same factors, Mr. Speaker, which will eventually determine how well the economy will perform. So there's no transformation. There is no transformation, Mr. Speaker. And I continue to stress on the word transformation. Mr. Speaker, What I would like to see, I would like to see tourism and the agricultural industry moving side by side and building up side by side, and priorities, top priorities set for both of them, both of the industries, Mr. Speaker. But we have a situation where we allow, especially the banana industry, to decline to a point, Mr. Speaker, whereby we are facing a lot of problems, Mr. Speaker, in getting it to pick up back again. Mr. Speaker, if I turn my attention to agriculture, in 2004, Mr. Speaker, in 2004, we had a slight improvement, Mr. Speaker, in banana production. A World Bank report indicated that the Caribbean governments have done too little for agriculture, and this was wrong. And in effect, it had a negative impact on the region's economy. This must change. While agriculture faces tough times both by external and internal influences, we must come together as a nation to wipe off the negative influences the internal factors within our country is having on the agricultural industry, especially bananas, and I've been saying that, Mr. Speaker. We must review and revisit the way in which government allowed the very vital industry to be privatized and liberalized locally. Today, there are so many managers in the banana industry, and yet still live spot disease has almost destroyed the industry. Fertilizer prices have gone higher, and there is no more a proper credit scheme for farmers, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, it is alarming the disparity the statistic has shown in production and revenue of bananas over the last 10 years. And you know, Mr. Speaker, I'm trying to show you a clear picture, Mr. Speaker, a clear picture of what caused the actual decline, Mr. Speaker, in the economic performance of this country. Mr. Speaker, in the year 1996, St. Lucia exported 120,000 tons of bananas in the year 1996. If we turn, Mr. Speaker, to the Economic and Social Review 2004, page 52, table 7, we would notice, Mr. Speaker, that in the year 2001, St. Lucia produced 34,000 tons, Mr. Speaker, of bananas. In the year 2002, St. Lucia exported 48,000 tons, 48,160 tons of bananas. In the year 2003, Mr. Speaker, St. Lucia exported 33,971 tons of bananas. And in the year 2004, St. Lucia exported 42,326 tons of bananas, leaving a difference of over 600,000 tons of bananas lost between the period 1997 to 2004. What a loss. What a loss. Mr. Speaker, you know, if you analyze this loss in terms of revenue, what it is approximately $900 million, Mr. Speaker, almost $1 billion, which the country lost over the last 9 years in banana revenues. Mr. Speaker, can you show me where in the social and economic review that any other sector or industry was able to make up for the revenue the St. Lucian economy lost from bananas over the past 9 years? Mr. Speaker, they lost, Mr. Speaker, and remember, the monies derived from the banana industry, Mr. Speaker, these monies are circulated across the country. There is an even income distribution. An even income distribution. So the effect, Mr. Speaker, you have when you have these monies coming in, Mr. Speaker, is a greater effect than any other industry. And I challenge any one of the members, Mr. Speaker, to show me where that the tourism industry, Mr. Speaker, and any other industry made up for the losses in the revenue. Yes, you had an increase, but it didn't make up for the losses, Mr. Speaker. You had an increase in the various sectors, but it didn't make up for the losses. So that is money, Mr. Speaker. That is loss. And that is the hardship that we are facing in St. Lucia today. And you know, Mr. Speaker, I wouldn't say that like one of those who criticize. I will give the government ideas and the alternative, Mr. Speaker. You know, Mr. Speaker, I would expect, you know, in all this happening and the industry declining, that a major agricultural diversification drive would have time be in place before the fall in the banana industry. But this did not happen, Mr. Speaker. I thought it would happen. You know, Mr. Speaker, there's no need to talk about before 97. I told you in 1996 production was at 120,000 tons. And in the year 2000, Mr. Speaker, production went down to some 40,000 tons, Mr. Speaker. So there is no need to question why the economy was on a sound footing. But you had a situation where the present government decided to transform the economy. There was no need to transform because there is no new sector, Mr. Speaker. All the sectors that are building, Mr. Speaker, were there. So all the government had to do was to maintain what Bear had and maintain the current agricultural sector as they got it. And then the various other sectors where they believed would that there was some light at the end of the tunnel in terms of what was happening in the global economy, like tourism, Mr. Speaker, they could have built up on these sectors. So you would have today, if they had done that, Mr. Speaker, they could have been boasting of one that the St. Lucian economy would be the strongest economy in the Caribbean, Mr. Speaker. But you know, Mr. Speaker, it is not a mischief for me to want the St. Lucian economy to decline. I want to see it improve. And hence the reason why, in my debate, I tend to seek to show the alternative. Mr. Speaker, we must continue to work very hard on the diversification drive, agricultural diversification drive. We must plan properly for other farmers who are into harvesting of other crops and agricultural activities apart from bananas. There must be a precise agenda set as to what crops to go, what other agricultural activities to participate in, example poultry, and that farmers must know the type, amount, and when to grow the crops. Farmers must be assured of a market and regular payment. Mr. Speaker, the diversification drive must continue. We must not only talk about it, Mr. Speaker, it must continue at a much faster and efficient rate. You know, while the government tries to diversify the agricultural sector, Mr. Speaker, you could see there's not the will, Mr. Speaker, to work harder on the diversification drive. The will is not there. And so, Mr. Speaker, as I go on, Mr. Speaker, I will compare the other sectors, with the agricultural sectors, and I will show you the real side effect the banana industry, the fall in the banana industry, had on the economy. Mr. Speaker, the EU grant facilities, and I've said that over and over, is not filtering to the persons it was intended to benefit. Initially, Mr. Speaker, the EU grant facility was intended, Mr. Speaker, to assist primarily, Mr. Speaker, the displaced farmers. But this is not happening, Mr. Speaker. This is not happening. You have a situation where you have just a few persons, a few farmers, to be precise, getting assistance from the fund, Mr. Speaker. Whereas, Mr. Speaker, monies have been disbursed, and you could see clearly, Mr. Speaker, that the monies are not having the effect that it was expected to have. So, Mr. Speaker, in building your agricultural industry, Mr. Speaker, you must build it so that you could create a linkage between agriculture and the tourism sector. And so therefore, Mr. Speaker, I move to tourism, Mr. Speaker, to give you an idea as to what has been happening and what should be done, Mr. Speaker, and the areas the government have neglected in the tourism industry. Mr. Speaker, the tourism industry has long been earmarked to cater and assist in the revenue and employment loss in the banana industry. But this has not been happening. You see, I can understand, Mr. Speaker, and I've said that over and over. If you decide that there is another sector you could build, okay? I do not have a problem with that. But again, Mr. Speaker, you have a situation whereby, Mr. Speaker, you are losing employment in one sector, and the other sector, which is expected to cater for the shortfall in revenues from the other sector, it is not doing it to the extent, Mr. Speaker, whereby today the unemployment figures, Mr. Speaker, in this country is at about 21%. Very high, Mr. Speaker. I think this country, the government, and the government must work hard to see that these figures go down to 8%, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, there are too many problems which we face in the development of the tourism industry as it pertains to help boosting the economy to the point where it can serve as the major industry which would have a diverse effect on the economy. Government must encourage local, government must encourage hotel and tourism development and activities in the rural and village areas, thus causing the industry to have the same effect which the banana industry had in terms of economic and income distribution. There must be excessive incentive and encouragement given to locals who want to participate in small hotel development and any other tourism activity, Mr. Speaker, thus making it have the same effect as the agricultural industry in terms of small business development. Mr. Speaker, if we turn to page 504 of the capital estimate 2005-2006, we would notice that the sum of 306,855,000 has been allocated and set aside for community-based nature heritage programs. Mr. Speaker, I must encourage the government to continue building on these areas. Because, you know, if you say it's not enough, Mr. Speaker, because you see, if you say that the tourism industry is the area you are going to use Mr. Speaker, to assist in the shortfall of the other sector, the agricultural industries. And if you really want it, Mr. Speaker, to have the same effect, the agricultural industry in terms of income generated, Mr. Speaker, has, then, Mr. Speaker, we now need not only to look at certain areas of touristic development. We need to look at the whole country, Mr. Speaker. We need to look at the villages. We need to take a look at the rural areas, Mr. Speaker. And it mustn't be said, it must be done. And so, Mr. Speaker, that will take some time, but I'm advising the government that they need to move in this direction. One of my serious concerns of problems in the tourism industry is that while government encourages and gives excessive incentives and concession to foreign investors, we must ensure that certain employment benefits like taxi services must be done by locals. We must ensure it, Mr. Speaker. I propose, Mr. Speaker, that this year Parliament puts legislation in place which would ensure that one of the conditions, Mr. Speaker, in the Tourism Incentive Act is that foreign investors cannot engage in certain employment activities and it must be left for locals. Example, taxi services. Mr. Speaker, when I refer to foreigners, Mr. Speaker, I do not refer to people from the Caribbean. I do not know why the Prime Minister, I mean, anytime I talk in this house, Mr. Speaker, I talk about the region, Mr. Speaker. I refer to the economy, our present economy, and I talk about the region, Mr. Speaker. I am a supporter of the CSMA, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, we must protect our taxi drivers. We must protect any one of our locals who decide to gainfully employ themselves in the sector. Government cannot allow foreign investors to use the incentive and concession given to them as a tool to compete in areas that locals can best do, Mr. Speaker. Most recently, I heard of a situation where a hotel had decided to relieve taxi drivers. This must be investigated. Mr. Speaker, this must be investigated. I'm giving correct information, Mr. Speaker. I wouldn't go out of the perimeter and give you wrong information.
Right.
Emphasis must be placed on making sure that there is a complementary effect between the tourism and agricultural industry. There must be a more organized method between the farmers and the hotel in this country. Again, I insist that payments to farmers by the hotels for the produce must be made more frequently. You know, you have a situation in St. Lucia, Mr. Speaker, where we talk about the linkages. We talk about building the linkages, Mr. Speaker, between agriculture and tourism. But building the linkages is one, Mr. Speaker. Securing the market with the hotels, Mr. Speaker, is another. And at the same time, Mr. Speaker, the financial reward to the farmers is another one, Mr. Speaker. And so while I urge the farmers of this country, Mr. Speaker, to maintain high quality, Mr. Speaker, I also urge, Mr. Speaker, that the hotels work a little harder, Mr. Speaker, to see that the farmers have been paid on time. Mr. Speaker, while you know in most of our debates today, Cricket World Cup 2007 takes up a lot of time in terms of our debates. It also will be taking up a lot of our resources. And therefore, Mr. Speaker, I would like to say a little on it, Mr. Speaker. World Cup 2007, Mr. Speaker. If World Cup 2007 is to have a serious, diverse economic impact on our country, we must be careful as to the new economic developments we are allowing to emerge as a result of this activity. For example, we cannot introduce a new transport shuttle system, Mr. Speaker, to carry people to the playing field if it is not by means of using the local minibus and taxi drivers through the Minibus and Taxi Association. Introducing or giving incentives to a new company to do such activities will only clog up the system, especially after Cricket World Cup 2007 is over. Mr. Speaker, the international aspect of our marketing, we must be careful, Mr. Speaker. You know why? We have to be careful. Because if we allow a situation where marketing is being done at random while the Cricket World Cup 2007 is taking place in St. Lucia, and we do not allow ourselves, the country, to properly derive the benefits from this marketing, from the marketing, Mr. Speaker, then we would have been losing out a lot. There is a situation whereby certain marketing companies, Mr. Speaker, might try to get into St. Lucia and go ahead with illegal marketing. Then we have to be careful with these situations. Or at the end of the day, the impact we are expecting Cricket World Cup 2007 to have on the economy might not be seen. So I urge, Mr. Speaker, that not only the government, not only should allow, the government should allow a diverse, Mr. Speaker, way of doing the preparation of the Cricket World Cup 2007. Mr. Speaker, the tourism industry must grow. It is an area that we must not only look at as a sector versus the agricultural sector. It is a sector which we must build and continue to build in the appropriate way. Mr. Speaker, I turn my attention now to the educational system and education. The educational system, Mr. Speaker, has been badly affected because of the weak economy. More than before, school children are dropping out of the system because parents do not have the financial means to send them to school. Mr. Speaker, government must devise a method to give parents of this country an ease. It is very difficult to send two or three children to school at the same time in St. Lucia today. Violence in school has increased. While there have been an improvement in performance in a number of subject areas and schools, the information I gather from this such confusing signal, Mr. Speaker, is that the children of this country are willing to meet the educational challenges of this new millennium. But there is something missing which I believe can be rectified by government. The removal of transport subsidy from the educational system was partly time. And now that the universal secondary education, which was intended to allow children to attend secondary schools in their own communities where they live, is taking too long to be implemented. You have a situation, Mr. Speaker. You have a situation, Mr. Speaker, where the transport subsidy was removed. And I always say, Mr. Speaker, if you decide that you are going to bring, you are going to work on the universal secondary education system, whereby children would not have to travel too far, Mr. Speaker, to attend school and attend school in the same communities, then, Mr. Speaker, you had to come up with a time frame. And so the removal of the subsidies were too early, Mr. Speaker, and so now you have a situation whereby a number of school children are dropping out from school.
Where do you get that from?
The statistics are clear. They are clear, Mr. Speaker. And I'm finding it strange that the Minister of Education is asking me where I am getting the information. Mr. Speaker, last year alone, over 2% of the children attending school dropped out of school, Mr. Speaker. Over 2%, Mr. Speaker. So, Mr. Speaker, I will ask the Minister of Education to do his research. I've given you the information. You do your research. You mean to tell me, Mr. Speaker, that with so much crime going on in St. Lucia, Mr. Speaker, and the persons that are committing the crime, Mr. Speaker, are between the ages 15, Mr. Speaker, 15, Mr. Speaker, to 25. And most of the persons committing crime, Mr. Speaker, who are of school, the age to be at school, are out of school, Mr. Speaker. As a result, I've said it before, Mr. Speaker, that the subsidies were removed too fast, Mr. Speaker.
If your government has removed this matter, you will be compensated.
Mr. Speaker, to continue, Mr. Speaker, on the education, the Sir Arthur Lewis Community College is in par with a number of recognized community colleges, and therefore emphasis must be placed on building ties and alliances with other accredited colleges and universities worldwide. If we can have all our children between the ages of 5 and 16 at school, then there will be no time for there to be idle minds. There's no time to think or to participate in criminal activities. No time, Mr. Speaker. Allocating, Mr. Speaker, resources to fight crime is one thing. But if we do not work on getting our social and educational matters in order, social, educational, and economic matters together, Mr. Speaker, then a lot of questions would arise. That's why today, Mr. Speaker, persons come up with the analysis by saying that we have had an increase in crime and the unemployment problem is one of the factors, Mr. Speaker, which contributes to the increase in crime. To reduce crime, we must get our youth actively involved in social activities like sports, community development activities, and employment. Government must send a clear signal that hardcore criminal activities where another man can take another man's life without any remorse must be dealt with the full force of the law. We must encourage our youth, Mr. Speaker. We must encourage them to participate in social activities.
I hope you don't need
more. Mr. Speaker, as I move away from crime, Mr. Speaker, I would like to look at another area, Mr. Speaker, where I believe it's growing too slow, and that government need to encourage local investors in that area. We must encourage local self-sustained small business manufacturing in the area of processing, food processing. Government must give appropriate incentives to assist locals in the setting up of manufacturing businesses. Manufacturing is an industry that must grow, and it is growing too slow.
I could give anything for food.
You see, encouraging local investment is one, and giving the incentive is another. So we must make available, Mr. Speaker, the revenues, Mr. Speaker, and the facilities so that we can encourage local investment in the area of manufacturing. The IT sector is the area which has much been talked about, and nothing much is happening. If we are to diversify our economy, we must try to encourage investment and development in the IT sector, Mr. Speaker. The IT sector is growing worldwide, and it must not be taken lightly. More money is needed to be allocated for the development of the IT sector, and new ideas are needed to inject investment interest into this sector, into the industry. Mr. Speaker, while I look at the various sectors, Mr. Speaker, and I tend to give you the alternative in terms of what government should do to generate interest, Mr. Speaker, to generate development. Because, you know, all of us would like to see the economy improve. Mr. Speaker, while we are faced with a decline in the agricultural sector, Mr. Speaker, while we are faced with an economy that is struggling, the health sector is also, Mr. Speaker, facing problems too. Health sector reform are too slow in coming, and I do not expect to see much in the new fiscal year. The universal health care program will take some time before it can be implemented. The situation at the Victoria Hospital must improve, and that the young doctors must be given a chance to work. The emergency unit at the Victoria Hospital must be more responsive to life-threatening injuries. And by now, a survey should have been conducted to show how many life-threatening injuries occur on a weekly basis, so that doctors and the hospital administrators could respond on time to save lives. There must be a comprehensive plan put in place for health sector reform, proper maintenance of hospitals, health centers, psychiatric facilities must be a main priority. Government must know what are the medical equipment that are most needed at the hospitals. You see, Mr. Speaker, we are faced with a situation where the government say that they are planning to build a new hospital. But I would advise that the facilities we have right now and the resources we have presently, we must work with them. Utilize them to the fullest. And while we reform the sector, which is the same thing I said in the various economic sectors, while we reform, we cannot afford to neglect. You know, it's the same thing I said with the development of the tourism sector. We neglected the banana industry, not for the development of the tourism sector, but we neglected the development of the banana industry. And therefore, while the tourism industry was improving, Mr. Speaker, you had a situation whereby the revenue lost in the banana industry was so bad that it's even affecting the health situation in St. Lucia today. You know, because parents do not have money to pay to pay the doctors, Mr. Speaker. Right now you have a situation where the hospitals are losing a lot of money because people cannot pay. And so I warn, Mr. Speaker, that while we venture, into the health, into the reform of the health sector, that we do not forget and neglect the current facilities, equipment, and resources that are available. And so, Mr. Speaker, I turn my attention to a matter which is not, in most times, Mr. Speaker, is not debated that heavily in the House, especially during budget. But I believe because of the immense effect it does have on the economy, Mr. Speaker, I need to say a little about it. It would be a total misconception, Mr. Speaker, if we rely on building seawalls and shelters as a means of comfort, Mr. Speaker, to natural disasters. The devastating effect a natural disaster can have on our economy is immense. It's immense, Mr. Speaker. And I propose that in the new fiscal year, Parliament must start putting in legislation in place that would give rise to an OECS natural disaster plan, whereby each island in the OECS must contribute a certain percentage of its revenue collected towards a fund which would be secured, administered, and held by the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank. Mr. Speaker, I decided, Mr. Speaker, to say a little about natural disasters, because you could have a very nice budget. You could have a very nice economy. And I'm not saying it mischievously, Mr. Speaker. I'm saying it because I want for us to put proper contingency plans in place, especially when we have decided to move into a $1 billion budget. So that, Mr. Speaker, after any country in the OECS has been affected by a natural disaster, finances could be accessed from the fund. There is a tendency, Mr. Speaker, as I said before, to only debate on matters of industries and sectors. But if you want to know how badly a sector or industry can be damaged after a natural disaster, ask Grenada. With the setting up of this fund, the OECS and St. Lucia will have a more planned approach in rebuilding the island after a natural disaster.
The honourable member has 15 minutes remaining to make his contribution.
Mr. Speaker, I rise to invite the Honourable House to waive Order 32H to allow the Honourable Leader of the Opposition to continue his presentation to a further 30 minutes beyond his allotted time.
Honourable Members, the question is that Standing Order 32H be suspended to allow the Honourable Leader of the Opposition an additional 30 minutes to make his contribution. I now put the question. As many are of that opinion, say aye.
Aye.
As many are of a contrary opinion, say no.
No.
I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it.
Mr. Speaker, so what I would like to see is as we go along as a disciplined nation, we cater for a situation like the one I've mentioned pertaining to the Natural Disaster Fund. And we must do it in a way, Mr. Speaker, because you see, it will affect our gross domestic product, Mr. Speaker, in that we would have to think of a certain percentage from revenues collected. And I guess it would be calculated using a certain formula where you look at the population versus the size of the island. So I'd like to encourage, Mr. Speaker, that we take that trend in St. Lucia. Mr. Speaker, there's another area I would like to say a little on, Mr. Speaker, and it pertains to the Public Accounts Committee. It should be a discipline, Mr. Speaker, that both government and the opposition encourages the intervention of the PAC in matters of public finances, especially capital expenditures. This fiscal period, Mr. Speaker, 2005-2006, the PAC will be at work never than before. I will first of all start by publishing the names and photos of members of the PAC. There will be 3 major meetings held this year, and that all capital projects being implemented in this country must be sent to my desk before approval so that I can verify the source of funding, the amount of disbursement of funds, Mr. Speaker. I would like to seek, Mr. Speaker, the cooperation of all statutory boards, the Director of Audit, the Accountant General, and members of Parliament. Mr. Speaker, the disbursement of funds for this year's budget has just started, and no one should be vexed with me as I monitor the way in which monies of the country are spent, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I always say that there's always heated debate as to whether the PAC is doing its work or not, whether the PAC is moving in the right direction. And so, in the last financial year, I met with a number of persons, the Director of Audit, Mr. Speaker, and other persons and sectors which are supposed to have a direct impact on the PAC function. And I allowed them, Mr. Speaker, to understand my style of management, the way in which they should expect me to approach matters of the PAC. And I must say, Mr. Speaker, I got the full cooperation of all persons and all sectors. So this year, Mr. Speaker, this fiscal year, Mr. Speaker, would be a year whereby the community would be at work. You know, Mr. Speaker, in places like Jamaica and Trinidad, the PAC functions very well. And naturally, you know, it is a discipline in these countries to encourage the PAC, Mr. Speaker, to intervene in a number of matters, especially matters with a lot of public attention. Mr. Speaker, I would like to go on and on, but I would take the time off to move to matters pertaining to my constituency. For the longest while, Mr. Speaker, in this House, in the Honorable House of Assembly, I've been talking a lot of matters pertaining to water. Mr. Speaker, we have a very serious water problem in the Mabuya Valley. There is a situation in the Denrinop constituency where the Dene River intake is virtually coming directly from the river. There are no tanks, Mr. Speaker. There was an old tank. Sometimes it has been used. Sometimes the water comes straight from the river and goes into the pipe. I heard the Minister of Finance talk about some, he mentioned about the allocation of $2 million to try to do some work in that area. And so I would welcome such a development. Mr. Speaker, this cannot continue. And if we say, if we talk about development, Mr. Speaker, then water should be made a priority, Mr. Speaker. The Gun River intake, there is also another serious problem there. And again, we have water coming directly from the river straight into the pipe. Olean also has a water problem. There is a situation whereby sometimes 2 weeks, the people of Olean, the pipes are dry, Mr. Speaker, virtually dry. And this needs to stop. So we, in general, Mr. Speaker, the entire valley has a water problem. And I've said it over and over. This year I've decided to mention it in the budget again, and I'm hoping, I'm going to watch very carefully to see that at least this year something is done temporarily to ease the problem of water in the Mabuya Valley. The farm roads, Mr. Speaker, are in a deplorable state. While we notice development in the community roads, especially in Dene River, Gun Ravine, and Gadet, there's a situation whereby the farm roads, Latul, Mr. Speaker, road is very bad. We have a situation in Gun River, Montpanache, Dibonet, Farm Road. These roads are very bad, Mr. Speaker. And I guess the Minister of Communication would know about the extent of the roads, Mr. Speaker. The Mondesi Road is in a deplorable state. And I could go on and on and on and on. But there are certain roads I would like to see something done to them this year, Mr. Speaker, especially those roads where you have a high banana production, Mr. Speaker, a place where a lot of persons go to earn their living, Mondesi and Dibonet, Mr. Speaker. I would like to see something done to these roads. Mr. Speaker, I would like to encourage the people of the Mabuya Valley constituency or community to continue on the community spirit, which I see every day, Mr. Speaker, in the community. The development committees work very hard to assist in the development of a number of small projects within the community. I would like to encourage the John Revere Development Committee, the Garrett Development Committee, the Olio Development Committee, the Gunrabin Development Committee, and all other development committees within the valley to continue on the good work they have been doing. At a recent meeting, Mr. Speaker, with the people of the valley, just before budget, I was given the task to inform government that there are a number of side effects as a result of the decline in the banana industry. And one of the major side effects, Mr. Speaker, was unemployment. The second one, Mr. Speaker, they told me that the young people of the valley are now getting themselves involved more than before in other illegal activities to try to earn a living. Mr. Speaker, we must continue to try to develop the agricultural industry to the extent it was before. While there was a fall in the banana production in this country, or in the exports of bananas, Mr. Speaker, if we are to diversify our economy to get the result, we must do so. The EU fund, which I mentioned before, in my constituency, there is very little assistance the farmers are getting from the fund. Very little assistance. And so I urge that the persons and the institutions involved, Mr. Speaker, in the planning of how the funds are supposed to be reimbursed, Mr. Speaker, that they take a very good look at the way the funds are distributed, especially in the rural areas. Mr. Speaker, before I summarize, I must say that by now we should have been disciplined enough, especially the government, to know that the preparation of the budget takes some time, and that at least 4 clear working days, members of parliament should be given 4 clear working days, Mr. Speaker, in order so that they could receive the estimates, Mr. Speaker, and the review of the year before. In summarizing, let me remind government that having a $1 billion budget is one thing. But as to what areas the monies are spent, as to how the monies are spent, and as to government priorities in terms of current and capital expenditure will be far more important than unplanned spending. We have a situation where the highest growth in the economy was in communication, tourism, and the wholesale industry. These areas are almost, on, if not totally, controlled by foreign investment or a few individuals in the country. Mr. Speaker, if we are to see a marked improvement in this economy, agriculture, which has the best income distribution effect for our people, must be given top priority. I thank you, Mr. Speaker.